Financial advisors can be compensated in a variety of ways. Some work off of a commission, while others charge a direct fee. Sandy Martin is a financial planner and partner at Spring Financial Planning, and she's here to take us through exactly what a fee-based advisor is and how you can work with one, in addition to the other models that I mentioned. Hello there, Sandy.
Well, hello, Bruce.
So I think it's really important for us to understand how financial advisors get compensated. It's not to say that they don't deserve compensation. Of course they do. But I want all of our listeners to understand how it works so they can choose one that's the best fit. Let's go through the three basics and in a sentence or two, if you could define or describe what they mean. So fee-based first off, commission-based second, and fee-only third.
Sure. So fee-based would be typically it's a percentage of the amount of money you have invested with that advisor is paid to them as a fee. So there might be a fee for the portfolio itself, and then there might be the fee directly to them, and you negotiate that piece, their piece of the fee directly with that advisor.
And an example would be it's 1% on $1 million, so the fee works out to be 10 grand a year.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Then there's commission-based, which may pay a commission directly to your advisor, or it may pay a commission to the branch that advisor works for, and then that advisor receives a salary or, you know, a bonus or something based on their performance. But the commission is, depending on the amount and the type of investment product that you purchase, that that creates that compensation for that advisor. So it's only tied to that transaction that occurs.
And so on $1 million, let's say it's completely in mutual funds that are on commission versus commissions earned on trades. Let's say it's $1 million at 2.3% is the average MER for a Canadian equity mutual fund. So 23 grand. Did I do the math right?
Yeah.
Basically. Yep. Basically. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then there is fee only. Tell us about that.
Yeah, fee only, or sometimes we like to use the phrasing advice only, because fee only can also be used for a kind of a percent of assets under management as well. So we started using advice only, which is very similar to the relationship you'd have with an accountant. You contract a professional to do this advising for you, create a plan for you, and you pay a fee that you've agreed upon ahead of time in a contract, or you pay on an hourly basis, and then when everything's done, you tot it all up and pay the bill directly only to that advisor. Nobody else is paying that.
Right. And so to use that $1 million in assets under management, depending on the scope of the work, it could be, you know, I don't know, $3,000 to $5,000 based on what you're having them do. But that's, they deliver a plan to you, and you don't get to call them every 5 minutes to check in and see what they think of the market performance today.
You could call every 5 minutes.
But they'd be putting the clock on and charging you more money. Now, is your model exclusively fee-based?
That's right. We only charge our clients. Nobody else pays us, not even in fancy dinners or vacations.
Right. Now, what? So one of the things, there's been so much discussion about this because of CRM2 that has helped to some extent because it's increased the awareness around fees. But what isn't included in your fee? And I ask because often with fee-based advisors, the investor ends up going into vehicles that do have some sort of MER associated with them. Is that in addition to a fee that you would charge?
That's right. So what we have decided is that although we help clients with implementation, so for example, we might work with their accountant or their investment advisor to make sure we're all speaking to the client and not kind of in one ear and somebody saying something else in the other ear. So we work as a team, but we do not actually do the implementation. So it means that there is a team of professionals, each one of them getting paid for their specific area of expertise. So for example, the investment advisor may end up, depending on what is suitable for that client and what's actually available for them, which are, you know, sometimes two different things, that they're paying the right amount of money for the kind of advice they want. Because as you know, a lot of investment advisors are charging as though there is also financial planning as a component of that service. And so when we talk to clients, well, they don't need an advisor that also does financial planning. They need somebody just to take care of their portfolio. And so it allows them to specifically look for that kind of advice and ideally pay the kind of price that you would expect with part of the service kind of stripped out of it and being taken care of by somebody else.
What would be, and this is a hard question, but what would be the average fee that one of your clients would pay? Ideally, both in percentage terms and in absolute terms.
Oh boy, percentage terms is all over the map. So we deal with people who have no assets to invest, who may have a hard time finding, you know, an advisor who's compensated only by the managed investments. We also, so it would be, you know, more than 100%, obviously, if they have no assets to manage and they can't see. I've had clients with $3, $6, $10 million. So the amount of money that they paid is like fractions of a percent. For that year. So we work with people for a year. And so our fee for that entire year together, including the plan and all of the discussions when life changes after the plan gets delivered, often for clients of mine might be around $4,000. Again, depending on complexity and, you know, how many kids they have and all the goals that they might have.
Why are so few advisors structured to run their business in this way?
Well, I would say that it's in part sort of legacy. You know, the average age of financial advisors in Canada is somewhere pushing 50. And so those people have worked in their business for that entire time. The idea of sort of switching to a relatively new compensation and business model structure is probably hard to contemplate. And also, when you are this kind of financial advisor, you have to take a pretty big risk. You're an entrepreneur. There's not a lot of people who have done it before. And so you kind of have to, like any entrepreneur, you're starting a business, you sort of have to build a moat before you can start operating in this way, because it's not like the first dollar you get, you know, under management in an asset is going to keep paying you a trailing commission. You have to go out and seek new clients every time, right?
If your best friend was asking you for advice on how to choose a financial advisor and they first said and you agreed that they weren't going to work with you for whatever reason, what would be the questions that you would encourage that best friend ask of the people that they are interviewing for this role?
That just happened a month ago.
Oh, wow.
My very best friend asked me, and of course we said, no, it's not going to be me. The first things that I wanted to ask were, what are the things that are keeping you up at night? What's the actual concern that you feel like you need to solve? And for her, she really was feeling as though they needed two things. So they needed to agree. So she and her husband needed to agree on how they were spending their money today and whether it was actually having an effect on their ability to save for the future. And if they needed to weigh that ability to save for the future more heavily than they did now. So that would mean, you know, doing a retirement plan and all of those things. So I also had to ask questions. I knew the answer, but I mean, let's pretend I didn't. You know, what is your employment structure? What do you want for your children? All those things. They happen to be professionally incorporated. And so there was a pretty narrow, I mean, I know a lot of the people in the advice only space. So I sent them right away to somebody that I love and respect. So I think they're being really taken care of, even if I can't do it.
How do people find advisors that they can even interview? Because it is literally one of the questions I get asked more than any other. And it's why on this show I have done interviews with all these websites that are popping up trying to find a way to develop a recommendation engine online to help connect people with great advisors. But it's still not clear. Like with travel, go to TripAdvisor. It's going to work out for you. In the financial advisor space, it's very hard. There's no established recommendation engine that we can trust yet.
No, there really isn't. And in some ways, it's because there is no set of generally accepted rules for what kind of name you give a player. So to kind of full circle back to the beginning of this, if somebody said they were a fee-only advisor and they accepted commissions, for example, well, that would be a no-no, but it's not a regulatory no-no.
Right.
So there's not really, I mean, I remember certain listings in past years sort of had difficulty with distinguishing between compensation types. I know that there are, as you say, there's a spreadsheet floating around that John Robertson has. I know we have a group of people that we work with who are advice-only planners, but we're all kind of mentoring each other, and therefore we have a public-facing website called adviceonlyplanners.ca. But it's still, I mean, that's a small sampling of the people who operate in this particular sphere. We think maybe there's 200 to 250. I think that might be a little high, but where all of them are in one spot, I don't know.
Right.
There isn't one right now.
Well, the listeners, I'm afraid you're going to have to keep doing your research, but it's worth it. Thank you very much, Sandy.
Thank you, Bruce.
Sandy Martin, an advice-only planner partner at Spring Financial Planning, working on continuing to help our listeners understand the different compensation models out there.